album is out on the shelves. It must feel good to have another one under the belt.
It does. It always feels good. You know, it feels exactly the same 10 albums in as it did on the first one. It doesn't. That feeling never wears off, that feeling of accomplishment and relief when it finally comes out.
It must get interesting, though, as far as starting to perform, working out what to play off the albums that aren't the new one.
That gets harder and harder every time because obviously there's more songs to fit in. And over 10 albums, there's a whole lot of singles that a lot of people are coming to hear. But, you know, so trying to juggle that with the other songs that you want to kind of get in there and rotate. It means that I kind of rotate the sets a lot these days, and not two shows are really much the same anymore. So it makes it kind of challenging but interesting.
The one thing that really jumps out for me between the last two albums, Shane, is that listening to the last one kind of quite a lot, to be honest with you, it obviously came from quite a somber space in your life. What do you think's changed between that one and this one?
Well, that somber space, I guess, is gone. You know, I mean, I still have somber spaces like every artist or, you know, largely creative people are prone to those somber times, I guess, you know, and bouts of melancholy. And that's when I find I write a lot. But, you know, life's different. Life's 3 or 4 years down the track now, and there's different priorities. There's different things to be writing about. So I think my perspective maybe has changed. I'm still writing largely about a lot of the same things that, you know, matter to me or things I want to... it's like a bit of a self-therapy, you know, a cathartic process, writing songs. So I often write about things that are important to me, and I think maybe your perspective just changes over time depending on what else is going on in your life. So I think this record might be a little less sad and a bit more defiant and at times a bit more celebratory too and happy.
Ain't no one gonna win this war. First back bends with the final straw.
Something about... I saw you play at the Social Club in Melbourne last year, I think, as a part of that tour for the last album. And one of the things you said in banter between tracks was that you'd spend a lot of time working in a studio at home. Do you produce your own work?
I used to a lot. I used to be heavily involved. But the last two records, I've actually totally removed myself from that process because I spend so much of my time producing for other people now. It's kind of more like my day job, you know, producing for other people. So I'll make a dozen albums in a year. Last year and this year, I made a dozen albums already, you know, in both those years. So when it comes time to making my own, I kind of feel like I want to enjoy the process and it not be like work. So I've actually removed myself from it, and I get a really good friend of mine, Matt Fell, who's also, in my opinion, probably the best producer we have in the country. And I kind of know him so well and trust him so implicitly that I can pretty much remove myself from that process and just be an artist, and I just get to sing and play instruments and enjoy the process. So that's changed for me very much from where it started, and I was much more of a control freak in the early days.
Yeah, right. Matt Fell's a big name, hey? Like Tim Friedman, Sarah Stora, Slim Dusty, John Williamson. God, there's real names amongst that lot. That must feel great to work with someone like that.
It is. And, I mean, obviously, I mean, we're best mates, but to actually work with somebody that you admire, who's also your best mate and you trust musically, like, I mean, he could make my record without me even being there, probably. You know, he's just, we share such a common interest in music. All our favourite albums are the same ones, you know, and most of our conversations are non-verbal when we're making a record. It's all just musical and it's understood and we don't really need to discuss anything. And it's a really good feeling. It's a really nice feeling to work with someone that you can kind of, you're just so congruent with, and somebody that totally understands what's going on inside your head.
Do you work in his studio or yours?
We do, and I purposefully try and get out of my studio now to make my music because I work so often in my studio that it's a really nice chance for me to kind of get out of here and, you know, just feel like I'm in a neutral zone, I guess. And I mean, I love working in my studio. It's right underneath my house, and I just roll down the stairs in pajamas every day, and it's kind of a great place to work. But when it comes to my record, it's really nice to get out of here and just have a change of scenery for, you know, for a week or two.
Is it hard, though? I'd imagine there's a real battle in having, you know, there's convenience in having the studio downstairs with having young kids around and stuff, but it must be hard as far as distractions and the battle with, you know, motivation.
Well, I tell you, the hardest thing is that I'm prone to, you know, overworking. You know, I mean, I've many times been accused of being a bit of a workaholic, so the accessibility of the studio can be a tricky thing, you know, because it's so easy to work. So I often, you know, there's days I'll find that I've just worked for 18 hours with, you know, and not even realised I've done it, you know. So that's taken a little bit of, you know, getting the work-life balance sorted out when the work is so accessible and I just kind of walk down the stairs and work. It's hard to stop. It's not actually hard to start for me. It's hard to stop working.
I've listened to the new album a bit, but of course it's fairly new, so I'm still getting my head around it. I will say, though, that the album before I really, really enjoyed. And I'm interested in songs like, tell me about Hermannsburg. Is that a place or is that a...
Hermannsburg is a place, yeah. It's a town about 140 k's west of Alice Springs. It's about as red centre in Australia as you can get. And it was a town that was set up by the German Lutheran missionaries many, many years ago, and hence the name. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And you're a broken man all the way to the centre of the world. A good friend of mine, Warren Williams, is a songwriter. He's from there. He's kind of like an elder custodian of the town now. And he invited me out there for a week of basically getting away from my life, you know, work and music. And so I actually just went out there to enjoy not being a musician for a week. But I ended up writing half an album out there, which became the Hellbreak Voice album, just by accident, you know.
And do you spend a lot of time writing away from home?
I do now. I actually actively go away from home to write now. So this whole new album I wrote in a cabin on the Hawkesbury River that was only accessible by boat. I've just found over the years that I need to isolate myself completely, and that means be unreachable, you know, try and find somewhere with no phone service, no email, no internet, and I've been doing that for years. So I think since about 2009, I've written about the last five or six albums by going somewhere away from home that's completely isolated and disconnected.
I notice that there's a few songs of yours that have pretty clear nods to other songs. I mean, one of them being Waltzing Matilda, there's a clear nod to that in Single Fathers. How do you balance that thing of borrowing something from someone without so clearly just stealing the whole thing?
I don't know. I'm not sure if I actually pull that off or not. I just kind of write. You know, I'm not very good at self-editing, and not because I'm not good at it. I choose not to. I really try and not edit myself or second-guess myself too often, and I just kind of, you know, go with the writing process. For me, the writing is always the incentive to make records. They're not, writing songs isn't always a means to an end to me, just to get the material together to make a record. It's actually the process of doing it that I enjoy. You know, I love sitting down, working with words and playing with words. And, you know, there's actually a lot of songs where I reference my own songs as well. And because they're kind of like signposts in my past, in my history, and they serve as a good way for me to tell an evolving story. So, I just enjoy the process of writing as much as I do the process of then recording those songs. And I try and just drown myself in that, you know, and I think it's really important, and certainly becoming easier for me as time goes on, to not edit myself or, you know, second guess or overthink things. And I think I'm getting a little bit better than that as time goes on.
It's just another day, another bed. Like any other place I rest my head. Wine-colored roses playing low. George Jones on the hotel radio.
We are very excited to have you coming to Flow Bar out at Old Bar in the Manning Valley on the 8th of September. Coming on your own or with anyone else?
I think I'm probably playing that one on my own. I've been doing a lot of this tour solo, which is kind of... I mean, I love having my band on the road. It's great. And playing with your mates, it's the ultimate. But there's a freedom with playing on my own that it means I don't need to prepare the show and run anything by anyone else, and it means that the shows are a little bit more off the cuff, and there's a lot more, you know, requests taken and that kind of thing, and there's no kind of planning as such. It's more intimate, and I just really enjoy that kind of chance to show people how the songs existed before they were on an album, and people get to hear how they sound when I wrote them in wherever I was, you know. And so I've been really enjoying doing that on this tour. I have had people come and play with me in different parts of the country as I travel around, but generally I just love playing on my own because there's a real freedom to it, you know, and I just get to take the show wherever it feels like it should go.
That feeds nicely into my next question then. I mentioned earlier that I had the pleasure of watching you play at the Northcote Social Club in Melbourne last year, and one of the things you did during that show was you unplugged and climbed down off the stage and stood in amongst all of us and played a couple of songs. What's the draw card for that?
Well, that was just something that happened by accident years ago, because a show I was playing, we lost power to the whole building, so we couldn't really plug in anyway, and we did the whole show standing on the floor in amongst the audience. But it was such an amazing time. I think, you know, I just remember it being such an enjoyable show that ever since then I've been just doing it for fun, just walking down. There's something cool about just removing everything between your voice or your instrument and the audience, you know, and getting down amongst them. It just connects them to the show, and they're not hearing it through a speaker. They're just hearing it straight from your mouth. And I don't know, there's something just really intimate and close about it when you get down amongst the audience and sing a few songs. I just love it. It's always the highlight of the show for me.